Well, welcome to this new episode. In this episode, we will be studying the subject of forgiveness, the topic of forgiveness, a study through the book of Philemon. So I titled this episode, The Call for Forgiveness. And so I want to start with this question. Are you ready to forgive? Wait, I know it's kind of strange for me to start with this question. Am I ready to forgive? Why? Forgiveness is something each of us need, but many find it hard to give away. None of us are perfect, so the grace of God is our only hope for a new start, for a new beginning. Again, the question is, are you ready to forgive? Before we study, I want you to listen to this song, sang by my daughter, and one of my favorite hymns called Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet. Save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me.
Well, I hope as we study through the book of Philemon, you will know why I started with this song. And so it is, again, like I said in the beginning, it is one of my favorite hymn that is close to my heart. And there's something that I've sang in many occasions, and just remembering the grace of God in my life, especially in this area of forgiveness. I need to think about His grace, first and foremost, His grace in my life. And so I hope that through this song, it helps you to prepare your heart. So I want us to turn our attention to the book of Philemon, and as we study God's word together, the book of Philemon. So if you just turn your Bible all the way almost to the end, the book of Philemon, and before we read God's word, let's go ahead and pray. Our great Father in heaven, in your word you have told us to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. If this is your will for us, then we want to obey you, Father. We want to express gratitude to you, even, God, even in this pandemic that we find ourselves in. Today is the day that we have celebrated Easter, the Resurrection Sunday. Thank you for the opportunity to reflect on what it means for us as followers of Jesus Christ, as Christians, to celebrate a Resurrection Sunday, Easter. So today, of all days, I'm grateful that you love the world, that you sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Today, of all days, I am grateful that Jesus lived a sinless life and so fulfilled the law. Jesus kept it perfectly in its every part. Father, today of all days, I am grateful that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us on the cross, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I am thankful that Jesus rose from the grave so we could have life in him. Thank you that through the life and death and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, you provided a way, the only way for us to be saved from our sin. We thank you that you sent your Spirit to dwell within us, to lead us to all truth, to warn us away from all temptations and sins, to seal us as your own possession, to equip us for all righteousness, to even to sanctify us to all holiness. So as you called us to live a holy life because you are holy, to even assure us of your love and faithfulness and grace. What a joy. What a joy tonight, Father. What a blessing. What a cause for us for gratitude, that we are to be thankful for this beautiful day. We thank you that you have promised us that just as that could not hold our Lord Jesus Christ, that will not be able to hold those of us who have put our faith in him. Just as Jesus Christ rose from the grave and went to the Father's side, we too will rise from the grave and go to be with you. So we thank you that you have provided for us. You provided a way for us to have this hope. So we give thanks, Father, even during this pandemic, because that has no claim on us. God, it has been such a difficult time. A lot of people have lost their lives because of this pandemic, this coronavirus. God, you are not taken back. And I pray, Father, that we would be sensitive to the needs of your people. God, those who are hurting and weary, God, may we be a source of help to them. Use us. So we thank you for keeping us healthy and strong. So we thank you for health and for safety. We thank you for care and for the provision. We thank you for the job. We thank you for the studies. We thank you for the food, and we thank you for the shelter. We thank you, Father, for all the healthcare workers who stands in the front lines, risking their lives to help others. May you grant them special blessings. Pour out your grace upon all of those healthcare workers today. So we bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. God, even as we turn to your word, Father, I thank you that you have given us this opportunity to worship you right now, right here, and right now. It is my prayer that during this time we have together, even in this episode, in this online, God, this technology that you have given us, that we would be able to set aside the concerns of daily life for the next few minutes, that we would be able to be fully present in your word now in our minds and in our hearts. I pray that we would be able to be still and know that you are God. God, I pray that let my mouth speak what has come from your mouth. Let us be attentive and eager to hear, trusting that in studying, we are not just hearing the words of a man, but the truth of God. That is my prayer, Father, that those who are listening today, that they would hear the truth of God. So it is my prayer that we would set aside whatever distractions or concerns we've carried in here with us today. Let us listen and be transformed. Let us be ever more conformed to the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray for this in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. So let's go ahead as we start our study together in the book of Philemon. And we will read through the book of Philemon. And this is what the Word of God says. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and all for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be my compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, and that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. Yes, sometime today, as I was preparing for this study, I received this text from one of my church members. And this is from a book, The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. And in this book, there is this quote that I want to start off with. And she said, "So I discovered that it is not on our forgiveness anymore than on our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but on His. When He tells us to love our enemies, He gives, along with the command, the love itself." So, as we think about forgiveness in the book of Philemon, and as we just had this, as we just read this chapter or this book, this whole book, so I want us to look at a living example on forgiveness. Again, this is the call for forgiveness. We live in an ego-centered society, a selfish society that knows and cares little about forgiveness. So we have become so decadent and non-Christian as to see forgiving people as weak, unforgiving as one as strong, unforgiving ones as strong. So when we turn to the book of Philemon, because here we see that our culture celebrates and exalts those TV and movie heroes who take vengeance on others. Pop psychologists write books encouraging the virtues of blame shifting, unforgiveness, and making those who offend us pay. The result is a society filled with bitterness, vengeance, anger, and even hate. You know what? If you're a Christian today, unwillingness to forgive is unthinkable. It is a rebellious, blatant, open act of disobedience to God. We are to forgive others as God has forgiven us. So when we turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Ephesians 4, verse 32. And this is what the word says. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Again, Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Again, Paul reminds us here, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So again, the scripture, even in these two verses, we are to what? We are to forgive others as God has forgiven us. Failure to do will bring at least four unpleasant results. First, failure to forgive will imprison believers in their past. Unforgiveness keeps the pain alive. Unforgiveness keeps the sore open. It never allows the wound to heal. Dwelling on the wrong done feeds anger and resentment and robs one of the joy of living. See, forgiveness, on the other hand, opens the prison doors and sets the believer, the Christians, free from the past. The second is unforgiveness produces bitterness. The longer believers dwell on offenses committed against them, the more bitter they become. Bitterness is not just a sin, it is an infection. The writer of the book of Hebrews warns, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. The third point is unforgiveness gives Satan an open door. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 through 27. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. And this is what the Word of God says. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. So unforgiveness gives Satan an open door. Number four, unforgiveness hinders fellowship with God. Our Lord Jesus Christ solemnly warned in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. So let's go ahead and look at what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 6, verse 14. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also what? Forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness restores the believer to the place of maximum blessing from God. It restores the purity and joy of fellowship with God. The importance of forgiveness is a constant theme of Scripture. There are no less than 75 different word pictures about forgiveness in the Bible. They help us grasp the importance, the nature, and the effects of forgiveness. Forgiveness is so important that the Holy Spirit devoted an entire book of the Bible to it. In the brief book of Philemon, the spiritual duty to forgive is emphasized, but not in principle or parable or even word picture. Through a real life situation involving two people dear to him, Apostle Paul teaches the importance of forgiving others in the book of Philemon. So let's go ahead and turn back to the book of Philemon, right after Titus, in between the book of Hebrews. So Philemon. So as we have read this chapter, this book, following the introduction in verses 1, 2, and 3, Paul describes the spiritual character of one who forgives in verses 4 through 7. Such a person has a concern for the Lord, a concern for people, a concern for fellowship, a concern for knowledge, a concern for glory, and a concern to be a blessing. So let me give you a quick background of the book of Philemon. So just a quick background, the purpose of this book, to convince Philemon to forgive his runaway slave Onesimus and to accept him as a brother in the faith. Okay, so that's the main purpose of why Paul wrote this book. And the author, of course, is Apostle Paul, to whom that he wrote this book. He wrote this book to Philemon, who was probably a wealthy member of the Colossian church in all, and also he was writing this to all believers, even those who know Christ today. We can learn, and this book is important for us as well. And so Paul wrote this book during his first imprisonment in Rome. It's about the same time when he wrote the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians. So they're all while he was in prison, okay? Onesimus here, as we read the chapter or the book, Onesimus had become or had come to faith in Christ while in Rome and was returning to Colossae to his master Philemon. And so as we turn here in the book of Philemon, because of his unique imprisonment in a rented house, Apostle Paul was able to have a steady stream of visitors and to freely preach and teach the word for 2 years. And you'll see that in the book of Acts, chapter 28, verses 17 through 31. During that time, the young man Onesimus heard the gospel and became a follower of Christ. And you'll see that in verse 10. It says here, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Okay? And so it shows us there in verse 10 that he became a follower of Christ. So Onesimus had stolen money from his master, Philemon, and had fled to Rome. Now, as a new Christian, he was preparing to return to Colossae and to Philemon. So Apostle Paul wrote this letter on behalf of Onesimus, urging Philemon to see the young man not as a slave, but check this out, but as a brother in Christ, a brother in the Lord in verse 16. I love this. No longer as a bondservant, but as a beloved brother, right? What a great picture for us to see. So again, Onesimus had become a brother. He's converted to Christianity. So Paul hoped that Philemon would welcome him. Not just welcome him, that Philemon would receive Onesimus. He would forgive him in verses 18 and 19. And perhaps even free him in, as we see towards the end of the book. So again, here Apostle Paul's appeal is based on their common love for Christ in verse 9 of this passage. So he's appealing there. He's encouraging him to forgive him. And also he's appealing on their relationship. So Philemon's response is unknown, but it would be difficult to imagine him not welcoming Onesimus as his new brother in Christ. So one of the lessons of this short letter is the example of Apostle Paul. He wrote as the advocate of Onesimus, trusting him to return, to submit to Philemon, and to live with the consequences of his actions. Apostle Paul believes in Onesimus, that he is a true brother in the faith. Paul does more than write and endorse this runaway slave. He also backs up his words with his money. So Paul offers to pay for anything Onesimus may have broken or even stolen in verse 18. So another lesson concerns the power of the gospel to bring people together. At an opposite pole in the society stood Philemon and Onesimus, yet they became unified brothers through their common faith in Christ. God can reconcile people regardless of their differences or offenses. The question is, as we continue our study here, right? Do you even believe that God can reconcile people regardless of their differences or offenses? So I want to ask you this question. With whom do you need to be reconciled? Right? Remember I asked that question earlier on. Are you ready to forgive? Now the question is with whom do you need to be reconciled? Right? To reconcile that relationship that's been broken. Whether it be a spouse, whether it be a family member, with your children, or whoever, right, that you could think of. What new Christian needs your affection and support, as we see here from the life of Apostle Paul encouraging Philemon to receive Onesimus, right? So, and I want us to look at here in this letter how to treat one who has wronged you. So as we turn to Philemon, so a lot was riding on this letter. This short letter gives us two reasons of why reconciliation should take place between these two. Philemon opened his home for church meetings and for Christians who traveled through the region. Hospitality honors Christ. So when we share our homes in our food, we honor our guests as those created in the image of God and loved by the Lord. Meeting another person's need for food or shelter was and it still is one of the most immediate and practical ways to obey God. It helps build relationships, offers time for talking, and gives children the opportunity to learn about how God uses other people in a variety of situations and cultures. As God has blessed you, share your provision with others. Open your home and invite others in. You know, there's a lot of people who are in need, and there's a way that you could minister to them and share the grace of God and how He has blessed you with so many things in your life. So every time Paul prayed for Philemon, he would thank God for him. So Paul's prayers of intercession flowed from loving and grateful memories. When you think of people to pray for, do you also express thanks to God for them? As you pray for people, thank God for their salvation and for the good work that God has done in their lives. Like Paul, he makes this Thanksgiving a regular part of his prayer life. And you'll see that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. So as we turn our attention to Philemon chapter 1, verse 4 through 7, the first thing I want us to see is this. Reason number one, it's the right thing to do, right? And as we forgive people. So again, how to treat one who has wronged you. Number one, it's the right thing to do. And this is what Paul wrote in Philemon chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. So Paul clearly states the character of Philemon. He's a man of great love and deep faith. Paul is pointing out that Philemon has the two main ingredients for reconciliation: faith in what Jesus teaches and love for others. Since he has both of this, reconciliation should be easy, shouldn't it? And Paul knows better. In our world, relationship need mending too, and reconciliation is at best awkward and uncomfortable. And even if we know the right spiritual sounding cliches to use and have faith that can move problems, and even if we love for others and desire for grace to be spread among the church, to be reconnected with someone who has wronged you is painful. I'm sure you could relate to that. I'm sure you know what that looks like. Even if we are certain that it is the right thing to do, it is not often the thing we want to do. I mean, I want you to imagine Philemon sitting in his home talking with his friends about the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ, and that we need more of it in the church is more grace, and in walks Onesimus. Or picture Onesimus sitting in one of Paul's Bible studies on how we are to love one another, and whatever we do, work as if we love the Lord, and that is the Lord we're working for. Right? I mean, just imagine that moment. Hasn't the church become so unreal over the years here in our culture? We too speak of grace and the love of God and winning, per se, winning people to Jesus, quote unquote, winning people to Jesus. But then we can't even get along, and even we refuse to humble ourselves and serve others as it were the Lord Jesus Christ we were serving. You see, with Philemon and Onesimus, love becomes more than a religious cliche. Grace is now something to be extended. We are good at talking about it, but when you have to practice it, your feelings and my feelings get in the way, don't they? See, give grace to the woman who lied about me, who lied about you. Give grace to fill in the blanks, right? Just do that. Give grace to so-and-so. And that's why we started with a song, Amazing Grace, because it is important that we live out grace. As God has given us grace in our lives, we are to manifest grace to others. So forgive the one who stole my opportunity to move up the ladder because they manipulated me. Why are we so Christian when it feels right, but when it comes to personal issues where we have been hurt, we find ways to justify our actions? Philemon and Onesimus had to prove their faith. And it wasn't by singing louder or giving more or even serving the unlovely. The proof of their faith was going to be the grace Philemon offers Onesimus and the hard work Onesimus humbly gives to Philemon. But Onesimus represented something else that was important or should be important to Philemon. But Paul said, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. So if Philemon is active in sharing his faith, he should be thrilled that Onesimus had come to know our Lord. The Onesimus that ran away is not the same Onesimus that is coming back. So Paul's prayer for Philemon was setting the stage for the request Paul would make in this letter. As Philemon was active in his faith and in sharing its blessing, as he learned more about God and his ways, and as he gained fuller understanding of all that Christ had done on his behalf, this knowledge should cause him to respond appropriately to Paul's request regarding Onesimus. The question is, are you active and effective in sharing with others your faith, your resources, and yes, your love, this sacrificial love? This event is going to take a lot of love, a lot of sacrificial love on Philemon's part. And Apostle Paul knows he has it in him because Paul had been a beneficiary of Philemon's love. We see this in verse 7. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Wow, what an encouragement that Paul gives to Philemon. We see this in this verse. Paul claims that he personally has come to have much joy and comfort in Philemon's love. Man, I see that sacrificial love. So Paul is going to stretch Philemon by asking him to go through the process of reconciliation with one of his runaway slaves. But before Paul makes a request, he wants Philemon to remember who he is and what his life has become and how the community now see this man, one of faith and love. Apostle Paul knows that reconciliation, even for a maturing Christian, is a tough pill to swallow, right? So if you have trouble with this subject, that wouldn't be a surprise to Apostle Paul. That's why I have come to believe that the deepest trait of a mature believer that rings true in all that I must do as one who represents Christ is humility. Philemon, the owner, the master, would have to humble himself and overlook his right of carrying out a sentence against Onesimus. What is true of Philemon is also true of us. It takes humility for us to overlook offenses, to practice real and true grace. Reconciliation is the right thing to do. And if I'm not mistaken, in a church, right? If you're part of a local church, there are probably some relationships that need to be reconciled. Or even in your own family, right? A division might not have occurred because of a fight. But like Onesimus, you have run away because you have been hurt, right? It might be you quit a ministry because you just got hurt, right? If you're part of a local church, or maybe you ran from a group of people because you couldn't get your way, but weren't humble enough to admit it to yourself. And for some, physical reconciliation to humble yourself. Swallow that pride that is keeping you from getting involved again and be reconciled to the bride of Christ so that his church might become productive. So think about that. Don't even think about saying, well, you don't know what they said to me or you don't know how hard I work, and then they change everything I had done. Again, reconciliation is a hard pill to swallow, but if you wash it down with humility, it goes down a little easier. So why should Philemon reconcile with Onesimus? Why is it important for you to reconcile with someone who has hurt you, who has wronged you? Because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Now, if you look at the rest of the chapter in verses 8 through 15, Apostle Paul tells Philemon, based on my authority, as an apostle, I could order you to reconcile and forgive, and you would see that I was right. But because of the love I know you have in you, I know you'll do the right thing. So Paul tells Philemon that by the law of love, accept Onesimus and greet him with open arms. Onesimus' name in Greek means useful. The name was a common name for slaves and is found in many ancient encryptions. A nameless slave might receive this name in the hopes that he would live up to it in serving his master. So Apostle Paul used a play on words, saying that Onesimus had formerly been useless to Philemon, but had become very useful both to Paul and potentially to Philemon. Under Philemon's service, Onesimus had failed to live up to his name. Not only is reconciliation the right thing to do, but number two, Philemon will benefit from the reconciliation, verses 15 through 20. Onesimus is again in verse 15. Onesimus is returning to Philemon a changed, a transformed man with a new heart in Jesus Christ. To have an employee who knows Jesus, who will work with integrity and honesty, who will work hard and yet have grace towards his fellow co-workers. If Philemon accepts Onesimus, he will receive a partner in the faith, a humble servant who, as Paul says, will be his slave for life. If Philemon will humbly accept Onesimus, his leadership stock in the church at Colossae will quadruple. And if Philemon receives Onesimus, Apostle Paul will be very pleased. And one thing I want us to see in this section, I want us to see the providence of God here. Paul acknowledged that God was at work behind the scenes in the separation of Onesimus and Philemon. You see, God carried out his hidden purpose even in the apparent turmoil of human events. Although Philemon lost Onesimus, it was only for a time. Philemon eventually regained his slave, but even more, he gained a new brother in Christ Jesus. You see, when we face painful separations or difficult times in relationships with loved ones, we must trust in God's loving care and his wisdom and power over all events. God may be using the difficulty to bring people to himself, to develop character and to help us grow. The question is, can you trust God enough to leave the situation in his hands? Can you do that? Are you able to trust God enough to leave the situation, whatever situation it is, into his loving hands? I mean, wouldn't it be great for Philemon to be able to call Onesimus aside at any time and pray with each other, discuss the things of God? To have someone else on the team fighting the good fight with you. So Paul is encouraging reconciliation so that they can get on with carrying out the great commission, not as one, but now as two. Again, the purpose, the goal is preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, living out the faith despite of the hurt, right? Again, we have this responsibility to reconcile with others so we can carry out the great commission. So Philemon will now have that same opportunity with Onesimus to pull him aside from time to time and to share with him what the Lord is doing in his life. Man, what a great opportunity. I mean, that's a discipleship right there, right? I mean, it's a great fellowship. Despite of the hurt in the past, that's all forgiven because of Christ, right? One thing that we see here is that reconciliation is good. But Paul has the confidence to expect even more than the minimal from Philemon in verse 21. And he says there, at the same time, prepare a guest room for me. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. Says, so often Christians look for the minimum that we can do for the Lord. We want to know where the line is. Can I still be a Christian and yet be irritated at someone else, at someone all the time? Can I walk with Christ, sing his songs, and yet carry a grudge? Can I meet for a Bible study and prayer meeting and yet remain separated from God's people? But Philemon was not one to look for the least simply get by. Apostle Paul knew Philemon as someone who went above and beyond what was expected. Philemon hosted a church in his house, and that's a dangerous thing to do. Philemon loved the people of God and always went the extra mile for them. In offering his home, he was risking invasion by the unruly crowds and condemnation from the Roman government opposed to this newfound religion. But Philemon was an extra mile type of person, above and beyond individual. And God is that way too. In Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. Question is, can we be extra mile Christians? Can we be extra mile followers of Christ? You see, Philemon did not have to do what Paul was asking him to do, but he went the extra mile and did it. See, we have got to get beyond hurt feelings and disgruntled attitudes. Jesus told his disciples, they're not going to recognize you for your good looks. They won't notice you for the huge building you build for worship or the amazing miracles you will perform. Jesus did not say they're going to know you or that you are mine if you pray five times a day and fast twice a week. Jesus did not say they will know you, that you are my disciples because of your poverty and willingness to stay poor for my sake. He did not say they'll know by the songs you sing and the music you choose or the clothes you wear and the bumper stickers you put on your car. He didn't say they'll know you, you're his, because of the cliches you use or the culture you adopt. Listen to this. They will know you, that you are Christ's disciples, if you love one another. I mean, I want you to check out my previous episode on loving one another, on study of from the book of John. How will they know? How will they know if you love one another? But I have got to tell you that I have seen people who do not know Christ love one another. So what does he mean? It's when we love those who are hard to love. That's commendable. It's loving those who have offended us or hurt us. That's a love the world will not understand. It is when you love people that you have reason not to love. It is when you go the extra mile to help someone that you really don't want to help. The Bible commands us in Romans 15, verse 7. Romans 15. Verse 7. This is what the Word of God says. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. said, accept one another, just as Christ has accepted you. He has welcomed you. So this idea of loving one another from Jesus and welcoming or accepting one another from Apostle Paul is not talking about those who are easy to love. You don't need Christ to do that. It is accepting those who seem unacceptable. It is loving those who you think are impossible to love. It's loving those in your world who do not deserve your love because of what they have done to you. Can you accept, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, as a Christian, that person who hurt you? Can you accept, as a Christian, that person who hurt you? I'm not saying you have to put them in a position to hurt you again, although that might be needed. But what I am saying is, can you even accept the fact that they're a Christian? Can you go to the same church? Be in the same class or even a small group? So Paul is not asking you to marry them or adopt them or even to sit by them, but can you speak to them? Can you acknowledge that they exist and they have some benefit to the cause of Christ? He's not saying be best friends. Just recognize them. So Philemon was being asked to accept those who hurt you, to love those who have become your enemies, and to reach out to those who have cut you deeply. This thing we call Christianity is painful. And in America, we have decided that Christianity is about our pleasure and about our comfort. But Christianity, but being a follower of Christ, being a disciple of Christ is difficult. You are asked to love those who have hurt you. Yes, I'm called to love. I'm called to welcome. I'm called to receive those who have malign me, who have hurt me personally, who have hurt my feelings. That's what Christianity looks like. We're to extend that love because Christ has forgiven us. As a Christian, we're asked to respect those who treated you with disrespect. And you could read that in the book of Matthew chapter 5 in regards to persecution and what we are to do with that. It doesn't matter how severe, how difficult the pain. Because I think that's the key. I think that's what helped Philemon here. Paul directed him to think about his own fate. And that's what we should do when we are separated ourselves from others and distance ourselves from ministry in the church because of hurt and pain. We should pause and contemplate about all that Christ has done for us. If you're in a position today that you have been hurt in the local church, I mean, you need to look at the scripture. You need to see what Christ has done for you. Stop thinking about others. Stop thinking about your pain. Think about the grace of God in your life so you can extend and give that grace to others. So as I close, as I consider this, I wonder who you are in this book, right? Some could be Onesimus. If you're Onesimus, open your heart anew to the Lord and do what's right. If you're not paying child support, right? If you owe someone, pay for that. If you're cheating your workplace, make restitution. Make it right. I admire Onesimus because instead of refusing to go back, he returned and made things right. If you're Onesimus tonight, I have great news for you. God can do something wonderful with your life if you'll choose to do what's right. So some are Philemon, right? So some are Onesimus. And some are Philemon, and that could be you, right? If you're Philemon, you need to say, I have no right to hold this debt, to hold this unforgiveness. I don't have right to hold this bitterness toward that person. And even though I might not agree with that person, or I have been hurt badly by her or by him, I'm going to see Christ dying for that sin and embrace that person once again. Can you do that? Are you able to embrace that person because of what Christ has done for you? Others are like Paul, right? You could be Onesimus, you could be Philemon. Now, others could be Apostle Paul, looking for ways to make peace. If you're making peace between people at war with one another, that's great, good for you, right? In humility, you're not pulling prank, you're not preaching, but simply willing to not only point out the problem, but also ready to get your own hands dirty to help pay the price, right? So the question is, who am I? Who am I in this? I'm all three, right? Sometimes, though not often enough, I'm Apostle Paul. In other times, needing to make things right, I'm Onesimus. Often, I'm Philemon, needing to what? To forgive, needing to extend that grace to others. Yet this powerful letter of Apostle Paul encourages us, it ministers to us in all three levels. And it is my prayer, it is my heart desire that it will do the same for you. May you, like Onesimus, celebrate the freedom of your salvation. May you, like Philemon, embrace others, knowing their sin has been imputed to our Lord's account. And may you, like Apostle Paul, be a peacemaker. You see, forgiveness has a tremendous power to affect the world. God knew it, Apostle Paul knew it, and Philemon needed to know it. The Holy Spirit knew that all men and women needed to know it. And that's why this wonderful little letter was included in the scripture. May we take its message to heart. What a great example it is for us. It is indeed a living example to forgive. May that be a story about you today. As you think about Easter celebration, Resurrection Sunday, and what's that look like, this is what it looks like. And what new life has done in you. What that new life in Christ has or is doing in your life. So you need to start looking. And this is the after effect of celebrating and being joyful of the Resurrection Sunday. So there's reason for us to celebrate because He has forgiven us. And so as He has forgiven us, as He has done that on the cross, sacrificed and gave Himself to the cross to die for our sins. And as He has forgiven us, we are to forgive others. And I hope that you will do the same after this lesson. So again, thank you for tuning in. And if you have any questions, let me know. I'll be happy to work with you on that and to encourage you to come alongside. So again, I'm grateful for this opportunity that we could study together. God bless you. Let's go ahead and close in prayer as we close our time. Father, thank you for another Bible study that you have given us. I pray that the scripture will speak loudly, God, that remind us of your grace that has been bestowed upon us. May I extend forgiveness and may I manifest humility in my life because of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I know it's difficult to forgive. I know by your help, by the working of the Spirit in my life, God, I pray that you would show me what it looks like to forgive others because you have forgiven me. Thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.